Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 17 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. That's John Cougar Mellencamp bringing this back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend, longtime BrainSource member, Jim Ostroff, senior editor with Platts, a division of McGraw-Hill. And we're talking about the nuclear industry, the nuclear power industry. Jim, you know, nuclear has been operated. They've been operating nuclear in our ships, our submarines, our aircraft carriers. We've been using nuclear safely for decades now. We got lots of nuclear power plants around the country and the world, but especially in the United States, who've never stopped producing electricity, and there's a role for nuclear, isn't there, in the whole array of energy producing sources?
There is, one could argue, and industry argues, in that, you know, nuclear provides, they say, so-called this big baseload power that can be, say, you know, a gigawatt of power, mm-hmm. and it produces electricity every single day, 24/7, without pause, until it has to refuel. Sometimes it's 2 years. And the point here is that the nuclear fuel is on hand, and it keeps operating.
Well, and the production of it, and the viability of it, is budgetable, right? As opposed when you're talking about producing electricity. You know over the next 5 years, including changing out the cores, you know what it's going to cost to produce electricity with that power, as opposed to coal or natural gas, where you can project, but there's no way to come close to knowing what that's going to be in 5 or 10 years.
That's exactly right, Jim. You cannot. And you know, there are issues sometimes here, not only with price spikes like during winter, but there have been, I wouldn't say shortages, but relative scarcity, because sometimes there were issues, peak demand periods in winter, where natural gas, particularly we saw in the Northeast a couple of years ago, wasn't quite all there, and electricity mm-hmm. rates soared. And because of weather problems, there were issues with coal.
Right.
Here for power.
Well, and we've had the enemy of coal is occupying the White House right now.
Well,
President Obama declared war on coal before he was elected, and if there's one thing he's done, he's followed through on that. He's almost decimated the coal industry. Yeah. Not only the industry of producing coal, but the energy producing coal fired plants have been hurt by President Obama.
Yeah. You can ascribe various political motives or other motives, but the fact is that many coal plants have been shut, are being retired, coal recovery is way off.
This is where I worry about. What I worry about for small business owners, Jim, is, as you know, energy is a big part of our budget. And especially for manufacturers and people who in the distribution industry who deliver things, and so if you run motors, you have to pay for a lot of power, especially electricity, and it troubles me that we're declaring war on one power source, coal, and we're not really encouraging another power source. Nuclear, and the green stuff, Jim, just can't ramp up that quickly.
But they are very much encouraging and subsidizing wind and solar power.
But that doesn't provide base load, does it?
No.
Help folks understand
now,
that.
It doesn't. The thing is over here that wind power, you might say in concept, is great and it can produce a lot of electricity. But most times, the majority of the wind power is generated when the wind blows, which is most times at night.
Right.
When demand for electricity is lowest.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with solar, the sun has to shine. The issue right now is we really cannot store it. Store the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of progress being made, but it's not. So what happens here, of course, is that governments, and this is even state governments, too, and regional groups, government agreements, encourage, say, wind power. And they do this by providing very specific subsidies to the operators. We're talking here now, ultimately, subsidies offered by the market operators. So you might say wind power can be competitive, but ultimately, and it's a rather complex thing, there, in order to assure the wind is being used, wind power, various markets will send a signal, literally a signal to, say, nuclear generators and say, fine, you can sell into our market right now, but you have to pay us every kilowatt hour you produce.
Wow.
So, of course, they say, they can't really shut down. You can't just start and stop, but
right.
they'll power way down. And that is why in many areas of the country, nuclear is becoming economically challenged and why a number of plants have just shut. Mm-hmm. And the operators have said, with Dominion Power, particularly Entergy, they said, we can operate profitably, but not if we are paying to sell our power.
Not under these rules. And that's where there's a disadvantage. Nuclear is kind of out there on its own. It's a clean energy, but the greenies don't always like it. A lot of them don't like it very much. So it's having a tough time. We'll come back on to get Jim to wrap this up for us and tell us where things are going.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.